What an amazing clip, an example from the life of Oskar Schindler, who saved so many Jews during the war. If you've not seen that film, let me encourage you to look it up online. I'm sure you can see it on Netflix or Amazon. If not, I can give you a loan of it. But he was a guy who, at the end, just wishes that he has given more. And I found it a truly inspiring story, but also very sobering, and it made me realise how inadequate my love is for others. And this morning we are thinking about growing in care as we continue in Paul's letter to the church in Corinth. And in the IVP, the commentator said this: it's a relief to pass into this clear, uncontroversial and interesting window into the day-to-day matters of one of the earliest Christian churches compared to chapter 15's disputes. And I can relate to that as we have had some tricky passages to look at over these last few weeks. However, it doesn't mean that what is going to be shared this morning will be any less challenging for us. So first of all, I want us to think about why should we care? Last week we were being encouraged to give generously and cheerfully. Our giving to God is a clear indicator of our hearts and an expression of our faith in God. I should just say, if you meant to respond after last week, please don't put that off. That would be such a good thing to do. In John 4 we read, "Let us love one another, for love is from God. And everyone who loves is born of God and knows God." And so another powerful indicator of a church's health is how it cares for the body. Our primary love and care is to be for fellow believers. And the love and care that we show to one another as believers is a powerful, the most powerful witness to the world. It's a mark of a healthy church. Jesus says, "Just as I have loved you, you should love each other. By this, everyone will know that you are my disciples." And so much of our teaching from recent weeks and months comes back to this whole thing of being disciples, what it means to be a disciple of Jesus. And when people see how we love each other, it should be so otherly, so counter-cultural, so persuasive, that it should mark us out as disciples of Jesus. This is why within fellowship we have caring, and why fellowship is one of our core values as a church, but we would trust would be core values for each member in the life of the church here too. I was talking to someone this week who's not a Christian, and he was sharing with me how he and his wife have not been out since their child was born about 2 years ago. They've not had one night out. They are very isolated. They have no support network or structure round about them. So many people are in this same situation, and we must not take what we have for granted. We have something in the church that the world just does not have. And so Jesus commands us to love one another. And love is the whole key to the subject. Our obedience to this command is not to be out of a sense of duty, but as we come to know and be filled by the love of God, that love is naturally expected to return to Him and to overflow to those around us, particularly to fellow believers and our neighbours. In Luke chapter 10, we read, "All the commands are summed up in this." Jesus says, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart and soul and mind and strength, and love your neighbour as yourself." And in 1 John 5, we read, "We love because God first loved us." So what does it mean if we are not loving others as we should? It must be a reflection of our hearts and our lack of love for God. And so we ask, why should we care? We should care because people have needs and we can play our part in meeting those needs. There are so many ways to show practical care. And this passage starts with a practical opportunity for God's people to look after Paul and to provide him with hospitality as he makes his own needs known to them. He says, "After I go through Macedonia, I'll come to you, for I will be going through Macedonia. Perhaps I'll stay with you for a while or even spend the winter so that you can help me on my journey wherever I go. But I do not want to see you now and make only a passing visit. I hope to spend some time with you, if the Lord permits. And I really like these verses because sometimes Paul gets a bad rap for being harsh. So often he's firefighting into real problems and issues in the lives of the church. But here's another strong reminder of his warmth and desire, his love for God's people, for the church, and his desire to spend extended time with his fellow believers. And this is the kind of church I want to be a part of, where people look outward and people make the effort to spend time together. And we all need to play our part in this. And so this hospitality for me is a spiritual gift that seems to be perhaps less obvious these days. It was one of my parents' primary gifts, and I saw it modeled as I grew up. Every single Sunday, at least one person came for dinner, an old guy in the church who was on his own, but usually with someone else as well. That just happened. That was a given every week. Our homes are probably our greatest expense that we have in our lives, but also one of our greatest resources and assets for caring for others too. And I believe God wants us to use our homes, not just for ourselves, but for others too. But I recognize that takes effort and sacrifice in our busy lives. And I know that at some points in our lives, that becomes very difficult for us to do. We might not be able to do it at every point in our lives. But it's something that we can do something about within church. I know on Sundays, people would go off together down to Coney Fox and have dinner together. We need to eat, so why not eat together? Keep it simple. These kind of practical things that we can do as well. But as I said, caring costs, and it can cost financially and with our time and our energy and our emotions too. And C.S. Lewis brings us this quote, and he says, "To love at all is to be vulnerable. Love anything and your heart will be wrung and possibly broken. If you want to make sure of keeping it intact, wrap it carefully around with hobbies and little luxuries. Avoid all entanglements. Lock it up safe in the casket or coffin of your selfishness. But in that casket, safe, dark, motionless, airless, it will change. It will not be broken. It will become unbreakable, impenetrable, irredeemable. To love is to be vulnerable. And yet it brings real blessing. Blessing to the person who receives the hospitality, but also to the giver. And if you don't do hospitality, let me encourage you to start by just doing a little. It doesn't need to be a huge meal. But maybe you used to do it. Maybe you've got out of the way of practicing hospitality because you're too busy. And so from the beginning, this church took the radical step of not having a Sunday evening service. And primarily that was to allow people to have the opportunity to have fellowship with each other. I know we can be tired at the end of a week, but let us be outward looking to others and seek to share life together. Clive was asking people this week, he was telling me, how did they learn how to give in church? And most of them said it was through their parents' example. It's the same for hospitality. As parents, what are we modelling about hospitality and care to our children growing up? So what can we do as God's people? We've got a great team at the church here who coordinate care at KCC. Fiona and Irene are responsible for the practical care, and Avril and I oversee the pastoral side, along with doing visits with Clive as well. And I felt it was important to hear a little bit about that when it comes to the how part of caring. So a few questions to give us an understanding of how it works. I've asked Irene, she's got out of duty for a little bit from Kids Church, to come and share with us a little bit about what that looks like. So please give Irene a nice warm welcome. That's good. So Irene, just tell us a little bit about what your role involves in the church here.
So Fiona and I are responsible for coordinating things that need done for people. So if people are needing a lift somewhere, or could do with some food and things like that. We don't do it all by any stretch of the imagination, but we're supposed to organise getting it done.
Okay, and what are the different kinds of ways that happens?
It's been a bit kind of haphazard, actually, up until now. And one of the things we need to work on is making sure that everybody knows what needs to be done. Steffi's been brilliant. She will put things out on Facebook, and she'll do doodle polls and emails and things. So those of you that are on the church members or the list that email goes out to will get to know about that. And then there are other times when Fiona and I will just phone people and say, can you do this? And most people are, in fact, all people are very lovely and do it. But one of the things we need to work on is making sure that people know there is a way that they can help. But without knowing, you know, it's not like if you have a need that everybody will then know about it. Often it can be done anonymously. And, you know, there's been lots of times when people have cooked for people that they don't know that they're cooking for, or financial help's gone to people and people that have given the money don't know who it's going to. So it's not like everybody's going to know what's going on with you. It's not like that.
Yeah, I think that's important to do. So there's a whole variety of ways that we've been able to provide care for people. What kinds of things have we been able to do?
So there are the things that you think about, like food and doing somebody's shopping, babysitting, giving them a lift, all sorts of things. It's anything really that somebody needs help with, that there is somebody else in the church that can help out with. And sometimes that can be costly. James gave somebody a lift somewhere once and ended up nearly in hospital himself because he got stung by it. Was it a bee you got stung by?
Bitten by a dog as well. You're doing well, James.
Was it bitten by a dog? Yeah, he was bitten by a dog. So sometimes it's a bit costly and the unexpected consequences to it. But it's not put you off, has it, James?
You're not telling him in this service, but I think you probably need to, that you managed to lose somebody at one point.
Yes, thank you for that. I was taking somebody in the church to a hospital appointment, and you know, we'd arranged that I'd drop the person off and she would go and do what she needed to do, and I would pick her up, and then I never saw or heard from her again. And
what, never?
Well, no, I have now.
Oh, that's good.
But I had visions of having to come back, and hours I waited, and nothing happened, and visions of having to come back and say to the elders, so I've lost this member of the congregation, and
slight
they would
problem.
Sack me.
Slight problem, yeah.
But yeah, so there can be unexpected consequences that are a bit stressful sometimes.
Yeah, and you said earlier on, you know, there's just so many needs, and when Irene took on this responsibility, she took it from me saying to her, it's not really a huge job. There are things that come up from time to time. And within the first month, there was just an absolute landslide of things. So tell them what you said about that in the
so
first
you just,
service.
You can't trust a word Colin says.
So I said, that's really helpful as I stand up here to preach. So anyway, thanks for that.
Speak to Margaret if you need to know the truth.
That's right. No, that's good. So what has been your experience of support of people at KCC, and what are the actual numbers of people involved? I think it's helpful to know that.
I think we're really fortunate in the church that we have here, that there are so many people who are willing to give of their time and their talents and to help other people. And when we send out a request, there's generally there's maybe about 30 or 40 people that you know are going to respond. But somebody made a good point at when we were having coffee, that often, you know, there are some people who are really quick to sign up to something, which is brilliant. But then there are other people who would have signed up had the quick people not got in there first. So not that I'm saying don't be quick and sign up, but that's just what I know about. There's lots that goes on. I know that people do for each other individually that I don't know about. And, you know, but I think we're really lucky in this church that there are so many people so willing to give and to help.
Indeed. What's your desire then for the development of care in the church here?
I think, as I've already said, I think we're not very good at the minute at getting the kind of need known out there. So, you know, there might be people who've never been asked to do anything, and that's not because, you know, Fiona and I don't think you can do it, it's just because we maybe don't know you very well, and it's quite easy to go to people who you know will always accommodate if they can. So I think part of what we need to do is look at how we can make that need more widely known. So if there are people who want to help, they can, rather than just going to the people that we have been. And I think also something else is that knowing what people's needs are, because it's horrible to hear about somebody who's been going through something and you haven't done anything to help because you've not known about it. So it'd be nicer if people were more open to letting themselves be helped in some way.
Okay. Thanks for doing that. You're going to be going back to your children through there.
Yes.
So I'd like to show appreciation to Irene and to Fiona and to Avril for all the work they do. Thank you. Back in the box. The Good Samaritan, of course, is a clear blueprint for care. And 2 weeks ago, some of you may know that I fell off my bike on the main street, ended up on the wrong side of the road just after the bus went by. I was very fortunate for that, but I was a bit stunned and bruised and bleeding. And I got up and kind of started walking down to the chemist, and someone came alongside me. It was Glenn. And he said, "Oh, how are you doing?" And he kind of looked at me and said, "Oh my goodness, what's happened?" So Glenn scooted up the road for his donkey, his estate car, and loaded up my broken bike and took me back round to my inn to be cleaned up and looked after. So the Good Samaritan is alive and well. And it just made me realise, it's quite an obvious thing, but you know, Glenn wasn't on the rota for caring that week. Thankfully, Glenn didn't cross over to the other side of the road when he saw the need. But the reality is, the main reason that people don't care as perhaps they should in life is because they're too busy. And I really was struck with this for us this morning, that if you're too busy to care, you're too busy. If you're too busy to care, you are too busy. And perhaps it's time to just stop and refocus and not be focusing on your own needs and those immediately around you, but to look to the needs of others. So how can we help? As a church, caring and loving each other is part of our DNA. And we are grateful for that as a family. And in recent days, Margaret was quite ill and received quite a lot of texts and visits in hospital. And obviously, somebody in particular came to see her, someone who almost has a phobia of being in hospitals, a real struggle. And we really appreciated that they made time to come in to do that visit, which was costly and sacrificial for them emotionally too. Also cards and flowers, visits to the house, offers of practical help, and that has been amazing. And then when Megan had little May, we were offered meals again, slightly independent, sense of saying, well, no, we'll be okay, it's fine. But meals were forced upon us, and it was fantastic, and we really appreciated that too, and we're very thankful for it. It brought us real joy and also love for those who had done it too. And in verse 10 we read, when Timothy comes, see to it that he has nothing to fear while he's with you, for he's carrying on the work of the Lord just as I am. No one then should treat him with contempt. Send him on his way in peace so that he may return to me. I am expecting him along with the brothers. So it's not just himself that Paul is asking for help for and support, but for Timothy too. And Timothy, a regular associate of Paul's on his missionary journeys, was a young, inexperienced, biracial Jew and Gentile. And he was a relative nobody compared to Paul. So Paul says he wants Timothy to receive the same level of care and support because he is a fellow believer. And sometimes we maybe need to make the needs of others known for their benefit, because it can be hard for people to make their needs known. As Irene said, you know, somebody recently I visited and said, "Oh, I've been missing you," and said, "Oh, I've been ill for 2 weeks." And not that they were looking for help, but I thought, well, if we'd known, we could have done something about it. So we need to be vulnerable. We need to be willing to share and accept help from others. Leslie and Audrey were a classic example when they came to this church, they were very hesitant about that. They weren't used to that or making needs known, and so they were gently encouraged to do that. And in the doing of that, found a great freedom and joy. They met so many more people, and they now have no hesitancy in making their needs known. So let me encourage you from their example to do that. Paul goes on in verse 12. Now about our brother Apollos, I strongly urged him to go to you with the brothers. He was quite unwilling to go now, but he will go when he has the opportunity. So he's encouraging others, literally, to get on board. And Apollos here seems to take a bit of persuading before he was won round. And maybe you feel a little bit reticent this morning about doing your bit. But let me encourage you to enter into God's blessing in your life as you bless others. And then right in the midst of this, we have this great verse. Be on your guard, stand firm in the faith, be courageous, be strong, do everything in love. And in just a few words, Paul encompasses the essence of the Christian message. And I agree with the theologian who said that these words would sit well over the door of any Christian home or any church. But please don't miss the fact that our caring is a matter of the heart, not a cold obedience to a command. Do everything in love. If we care without love, it's an empty act. Verse 15 says, you know that the household of Stephanas were the first converts in Achaia. They have devoted themselves to the service of the Lord's people. I urge you, brothers and sisters, to submit to such people and to everyone who joins in the work and labours at it. I was glad when Stephanas, Fortunatus, and Achaicus arrived, because they have supplied what was lacking from you, for they refreshed my spirit and yours also. Such men deserve recognition. And so Paul highlights Stephanas and his love and example. These first converts who saw the need and stepped into ministry at that point and provided love and care. And he wants to acknowledge and honour what was done, particularly by Stephanas. And perhaps we're not so good at that in Scotland, but that's why I publicly wanted us to thank the team who do all the work behind the scenes. They have helped facilitate blessing for so many people in the life of the church here, and we're thankful for that, and they deserve that recognition. And so as we come to a close, a practical application. I was surprised, I have to be honest, as we're going through this series, we've tried to be very honest and upfront and straight about things. I've been very surprised that as a church, only a percentage of people have actually registered with Steffi to receive the church emails. And from that group, we know that around 2/3 of people actually open it in a general sense. And for me, that is slightly concerning, because I'm sure we would all want to know when people need help. And Steffi will be at the back at the end to help get you connected if you just give her your email address. If you don't have a church address list and phone list, let me encourage you to get that as well. Sometimes people ask me if a person's doing okay, they haven't seen them for a while. Well, actually, it's better to text that person, because if I say, oh, they're doing okay, then they might never know that you have shown an interest in them. So why not drop them a little text of encouragement? I have been known to use my mobile phone. Thanks for that. And Ronan is away at the moment. He is back home in Aberdeen. And I know that Ronan's enjoying being here and in relationship with the church and with the young people. So I've just written him a little text and sent that to him, just saying we're thinking of him, to have a great weekend and that God would bless him. And for you young people, that's a simple thing to do. Just a little text. I don't know how many texts you send a week. I was going to count them. I thought I just don't have enough time. But lots of texts. And that's what we should be doing. We should be looking out to others. And I say to you, don't miss out on the blessing, because I can personally testify to what people's support has meant to me. And I want to be a part of that joy and blessing to others when I can. And don't cause others to miss out on blessing by being too independent or feeling that everyone else is too busy. I was recently reading an article about churches in America, why they struggle to break through at the 200 kind of mark. And that's an American setting. So it's probably significant less here. But the first point that said the most important point was that the church can no longer expect the pastors to be the ones who do all the visits, as Clive and I try to do a lot of these visits ourselves. Because what happens in these larger churches who persist with that model, some people start to get missed or they feel neglected. And so for us, we come back to the old classic of home groups. And again, we have a good percentage of people in church who are in home groups, but quite a few not yet in home groups. And if you're not in one, I really encourage you to be part of one. For us as a home group, we use WhatsApp, and we found that helpful. I received a message this morning asking after Margaret and how she was doing. And we've been able to share encouragement and prayer requests and practical needs, which is healthy and helps us to grow closer together as a group, as we care for each other. Perhaps you're in a group and you're not high tech, you don't have a smartphone. Well, don't miss out on the loop of it. Just tell your leader and they'll either text you or phone you or send a smoke signal or something that works for you to get you the information. Another practical thing we've done this week, Andy helpfully has put this together, we have a pastoral and care support email, and we feel that's hopefully helpful for people. It can perhaps make it easier to make needs known, that you don't have to actually phone up somebody and go through why you're feeling so rough or you're sick, or but just send off a little email and that'll be picked up. I have to say, we may not be able to meet every need. We have pretty much done that, but it may not always be the case, but we'll make every effort as a family to do that, to support each other. And so, as the Bible tells us, so let us love one another. Love one another as Jesus has loved us, the one who laid down his very life for us. And that means looking outwards to the needs of others and putting their needs ahead of our own. So let us be a generous people who are known for our great love, primarily for each other and also for those around us. And Clive likes to get good quotes up here, and I haven't even put it up, but I actually came up with this one, which is very surprising. I thought someone's probably said this already, and I've probably read it, but I don't remember it. But this is what I came up with last night before I went to bed. No one can do everything, but everyone can do something. No one can do everything. We're not asking you to do that, but everyone can do something. It's simple. It's a corporate responsibility that we have, but it's also a personal action that we should take. You don't need to wait for a need to come up to send somebody a text or an email. And so I would want to encourage you every day this week, take a moment to look at the address list or ask God to put someone on your heart to pray for them, and then text them or WhatsApp them or phone them to let them know that you care. Maybe it's someone that you haven't seen at church for a while or someone who's facing struggles. And for me this week, it was driving past someone's actual door and I suddenly thought, wow, I haven't been in touch with that person for a wee while. I need to do that. And so I was able to do it. And other times God just puts people in your mind. It may seem small, but it's very significant for the receiver. So maybe have someone round for a coffee or go out for a coffee. Come to the cafe here on a Friday for amazing, the best scones in the world and a great place to be, a great atmosphere in the cafe here. So it's really not rocket science, but it is about a foundational change of direction, away from looking at me and mine to looking out for the needs of others. And this is someone else's quote, but it's a belter. Don't go to church, be the church. I need to qualify that. Do come to church. Maybe it should say, don't just go to church. That's better. Be the church. This is our witness to the world. It's an overflow of the love of God that he has poured into our hearts and that he wants to overflow to others by his Holy Spirit. Let's pray. Father God, thank you for your word, for its practical nature, and pray that we would respond in obedience to what you said to us this morning. Help us to take these practical steps to get the information that we need, to be proactive, to be thinking about others, to be supporting others, to be caring for others. Help us to love as you have loved us. Help us to be a loving community that is a witness to being disciples of the Lord Jesus. So we commit ourselves to you. and pray that you would lead us and guide us in these ways this week. Help us to be upward looking and outward looking, and not to be as inward looking. In Jesus' name.